Many people remember Ron Perlman as the Beast in the late 80s TV series Beauty and the Beast, in which he played a poetic lion man who lived among society's outcasts in a subterranean lair beneath New York. Perlman is back underground in the new movie Hellboy, in heavy makeup, playing a monster who's also an ace monster hunter for the FBI. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
Last year, I got to see The Ring Cycle. Not the Wagner, the Tolkien, all three Peter Jackson epics back-to-back in one day. And I talked to a young woman, someone who'd waited in line for 12 hours, who said, Jackson gets Tolkien. He's a fan. The problem with George Lucas is that he's not a fan of Star Wars, so he doesn't understand what people who grew up with Star Wars love about Star Wars. Now, I admit this is counterintuitive. George Lucas, who created Star Wars, shouldn't make any more Star Wars movies because he didn't grow up loving Star Wars? That's nutty, right? Well, as a general principle, it might be, but I think in this case she's dead on. And I think Guillermo del Toro, the 39-year-old Mexican-born director and writer of Hellboy, is another fanboy who gets it, a brilliant filmmaker who has a kind of metabolic connection to horror and sci-fi that helps him transform secondhand material into something deep and nourishing, even Wagnerian. Which brings us to that delightful Hellboy. Hellboy is a superhero who is literally the spawn of hell, ushered into this world by Nazis in collaboration with Rasputin the Mad Monk, all of whom want to unleash the seven gods of chaos. Lucky for us, ha, the Allies, led by Professor Bruttenhelm, played by John Hurt, managed to shut down that infernal portal. The lone demon that gets through is a little smiling thing with horns and a tail and a taste for Baby Ruth candy bars. The soldiers name him Hellboy, and the professor raises him, awkwardly, as his own son. And 60 years later, he's still sort of an adolescent, albeit a huge one, played by the marvelous Ron Perlman in a big-jawed red mask with a giant stone hand. Hellboy lives in the basement of a secret FBI compound, where the agents battle supernatural enemies. There are things that go bump in the night, explains the professor, and we are the ones who bump back. Here's John Hurt explaining the agency's mission to a young recruit played by Rupert Evans, whom he's grooming to be Hellboy's new minder. We've just met a super intelligent fish man known as Abe Sapien. Now it's time to enter the vault of Hellboy.
1937, Hitler joins the Thule Society, a group of German aristocrats obsessed with the occult. 1938, acquired the Spear of Longinus. Pierce the side of Christ. He who holds it becomes invincible. 1943, President Roosevelt decides to fight back. The Bureau of Paranormal Research and Defense is born.
Well, come on in. Meet the rest of the family.
He gets fed six times a day. He's got a thing for cats. He never goes out unsupervised.
Who?
I hate those comic books. They never get the eyes right.
They're talking about a Hellboy comic book at the end. And like that comic, the movie comes from a distinct emotional place. That feeling of adolescent outsideredness that drives kids to live through superhero comics, and dream of turning their freakishness into an asset. Perlman's Hellboy is a wonderful creation, half macho, cigar-chomping marine, half melancholy monster who knows he doesn't belong in this world. He sands down his horns to fit in, but he still can't go out among real people, and he has a girlfriend who keeps breaking up with him and pulling him back. She's a fire starter, played by Selma Blair, looking dark and closed down, like a female poet with scars on her wrists. They're a beautiful match, though, because he can't be injured by her infernos, which seems to me a great metaphor for those incendiary relationships that actually improbably work. The plot? Well, the Nazis and Rasputin are back, with these squid-like tentacled hellhounds that lay hundreds of eggs, but I'm not going to tell you this is a high watermark in the art of film narrative. But the action computer-generated as a lot of it is thunderous, shocking without being especially graphic. And Del Toro is Hellboy. His movies, from his low-budget vampire classic Kronos to the studio-mangled Mimic to the tragic Spanish Civil War ghost story The Devil's Backbone, are set in subterranean caverns and dank, rusting subway tunnels that evoke a morbid spiritual dislocation. Del Toro must feel at home down there, because no one makes monster movies with such soulful grunge. What you call hell, he calls heaven.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.